Today, home price momentum crushed by credit drought. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. One of the critical factors in our core market model is a set of linkages between home price momentum and input factors such as demand, migration, interest rates, government incentives, inflation, and availability of credit. Each has an influence on the others and on the trajectory of home prices, but the greatest of these is credit availability. When mortgage lending booms, so does home prices. When it falls, so do prices. Up till recently, we actually saw credit for housing running significantly faster than wages growth or indeed inflation, as lenders continued to push loans to investors ahead of prospective owner-occupiers. We used to get monthly new credit updates from the ABS, but stupidly, or perhaps deliberately, they now only release these statistics each quarter, with the next due on the 14th of August. Westpac recently indicated that average monthly mortgage applications fell by around 10% to around 30,000 in April and May, dropping further to a run rate of 27,000 post the budget. The decline, they said, was driven by government tax changes for property investors and higher interest rates. Westpac's head of consumer banking, Carolyn McCann, pointed to higher rates and policy change that will slow credit growth alongside an uncertain economic outlook. Investor loan applications alone experienced a 20% drop following the government's announcement, and Westpac anticipated that housing credit growth for investors will slow to 4.4% in 2027 and 2028 fiscal years, down sharply from the 8.4% seen in fiscal year 2026. And to counter the softening demand, Westpac reportedly raised sale targets to its lending staff, leading to concerns from the finance sector union about burnout and staff exits. The tweaks announced in last month's federal budget included reducing the ability to deduct losses and mortgage interest from property investments from income and the removal of a capital gains discount. The move was designed to lower the barriers for first-time buyers to enter one of the world's least affordable housing markets. And the changes coincided with a challenging economic backdrop, which includes, of course, interest rate hikes, elevated inflation, cost of living pressures, and higher fuel costs. And ANZ recently said the tax changes will curb growth in the market for home loans in the months ahead. Actually, underwriting standards were changed post the budget. For example, National Australia Bank said it tightened its home lending rules after the government removed those perks which allowed property investors to claim mortgage interest payments as a tax deduction, a move that will reduce how much buyers are able to borrow. NAB's move followed similar shifts from Westpac and Macquarie. They represent a known and foreseeable factor that may affect a customer's financial position over the life of the loan, Lin Liu, an executive for home ownership at NAB, said in the statement. This is about helping ensure customers don't take on debt that they may not be able to service. The new tax regime has reduced borrowing capacity for some property investors by up to 30%, according to mortgage brokers. One client working with Oracle Lending Solutions, a broker in Adelaide, will now be able to borrow around $550,000, down from $700,000 after the changes. A mortgage downturn has been reported in the media recently, with the downturn something around 14% in June as the federal budget tax changes and higher interest rates trigger a housing market retreat. In fact, according to Equifax, this is accelerating from 10.9% in May compared to the same month a year ago. But as property prices fall in Sydney and Melbourne, demand from first-time buyers has fallen to an even faster rate than investors as new buyers sit on their hands until market conditions improve. The decline has been more rapid than expected, the Equifax chief solutions officer said. The drop for first home buyers has been caused by a combination of higher interest rates and uncertainty about their direction. Skepticism about house prices and the lack of affordability given salaries have not kept up with prices of properties over the last 5 years. Demand for first home owner mortgages fell 17% in June. That's the largest monthly decline in almost 4 years, after falling 30% in May. And this article highlights also that CBA's latest housing spending insights, which was released recently, said inflation and higher interest rates caused softer than expected end of financial year sales in the retail sector. And the Australian financial group AFG also reported recently on the mortgage markets and had a similar theme too. And the private sector mortgage data from brokers AFG this week tracks, by the way, the official Australian Bureau of Statistics series quite closely, and it shows that the number of mortgage commitments issued in the June quarter fell sharply. They lodged just under 39,000 mortgages in the final quarter of financial year 26. That's valued at about $28.1 billion, and said that after a strong start in April and May, June moderated as borrowers took time to assess the federal budget changes and the cumulative impact of recent RBA cash rate increases. The AFG Chief Executive Officer David Bailey said, "We believe the fiscal policy changes announced during the quarter will represent a period of readjustment rather than a structural shift in underlying demand. We've seen patchy investor volumes as the market absorbs the new settings, and the data is consistent with some borrowers pausing or reassessing plans. We view this as transitional, and broker demand has remained resilient. Western Australia's continued strength, driven by its resource sector economy and supply-constrained housing market, reinforced its position as a standout contributor to national volumes. The quarter's defining feature was actually a pronounced geographic divergence. New South Wales remained the largest market, with residential lodgements at $8.7 billion, followed by Victoria at $8.1 billion, and Queensland at $5.2 billion, although each saw lodgements decline on the prior corresponding quarter in financial year 25 by 1.8%, 0.6% and 1.8% respectively. South Australia outperformed year on year, up 7.9% to $1.85 billion, and Western Australia was the standout, recording residential lodgements at $4.21 billion, the only state to grow quarter on quarter, up 0.6%, and strongly ahead of year on year at 14.6%. Elsewhere, it's worth noting that the Macquarie Bank analyst Carlos Cacho said recent property market data was tracking broadly in line with expectations, but the pace of deterioration has surprised us and suggests potential downside risk to our views. With house price falls expected to continue, we expect lending volumes to fall in the year ahead, he said. We expect to see weakness across both investor and owner-occupied lending, given both have very high correlations to house prices. Perhaps no surprise then that there was an increased competition for the mortgage business that does still exist, which may help to explain recent cuts in short-term fixed home loan rates. For example, NAB was the latest, chopping 0.2 percentage points off some of their mortgages, less than 3 weeks out from the RBA's next cash rate decision. As a result of those changes, NAB's lowest rate is 6.34% for 2 years. Now, this is in line with fixed rate cuts from lenders big and small. According to Canstar, they said 21 lenders have cut at least one fixed rate since the 1st of June, including ANZ, which cut selected fixed rates up to 0.1%, while Macquarie cut its fixed rate by up to 0.5%. And by comparison, just 11 lenders have hiked a fixed rate in the same period, including Westpac, albeit by just 0.05% on its 1 to 3 year fixed rates. Now, out of the big four banks, Canstar says that ANZ still leads the majors with the lowest fixed rate on offer, which is a 2 year loan at 6.29%, which is still pretty painful. While many economists expect the cash rate to remain on hold following the RBA's August meeting in 20 days' time, the central bank's next move is certainly contested. Westpac is still expecting two more cash rate hikes, one at the next meeting in August and another potentially in September. CBA, NAB and ANZ believe the cash rate has now peaked and markets have swung towards perhaps a potential hike thanks to pressure on global bond yields connected to the resurgence of the problems in the Middle East. The 2 year Australian bond yield is about 4.579% now, while the 10 year is at 4.9%. And this chimes with the idea of the markets now thinking the next rate move will be higher. And this also chimes with the recent weakness in auction clearance rates. As I reported in my earlier post, we got data from SQM Research 2 which did confirm the trend. Sydney final auction rates for the week ending the 19th of July was just 29.4% from 619 scheduled auctions. And Louis Christopher said on X that Sydney's clearance rate appears to have deteriorated further in recent weeks. We might still see a bounce this week now we're out of the school holiday period, but boy, the chart looked very ill at this time. Melbourne came in with a final clearance of 37.83%, again, very low. So all up, sentiment in the housing market has dampened considerably since the budget, with the fear of missing out, the FOMO, being replaced by the fear of overpaying, the FOOP. While Treasury modelling suggests that the 2026 CGT and negative gearing reforms are expected to reduce house prices by around 2% over a couple of years, relative to no policy tax change, that's primarily because that'll reduce investor demand for established property. Reality is looking, well, significantly worse. And the linkage between prices and credit growth seems to confirm that more falls in prices are indeed likely ahead. So it's worth reflecting here on our scenarios, as I discussed recently. Just to remind you, the very best scenario is that we see rates staying at 4.35% until December 2027, and then easing, while inflation stays above target until later in 2027, migration remains above average, and first-time buyers still continue to buy. We don't get a recession in Australia, but we see slow wages growth below inflation, and the government continues to hand cash out, perhaps to first-time buyers and to property constructing sectors. The base case scenario is that rates go up again in September to 4.6%. They hold there until inflation eases in line with RBA expectations in 2027-2028. Wages rise slower than inflation, unemployment rises, recession in Australia follows, but migration also eases back to around average. And the worst case, the nightmare scenario, is that rates rise twice to 4.85% as inflation steps up while unemployment rises and wages growth stalls. Later rates are cut and migration drops below average and we see stagflation locally. This, of course, would be a consequence, perhaps, of the oil crisis going out of control. And in these scenarios, it's worth just reflecting on what may happen. If we look at houses first, in the best case scenario across Australia as an average, we could see prices pretty much sideways over the next 3 years. In the base case scenario, a fall of 13.8% is certainly quite likely. And the worst case scenario for houses, a fall of a third, 33.6%, is very likely over 3 years. And units would tend to follow on, but perhaps fall a little less, simply because of the supply-demand economics of units versus houses. And it's worth saying here that scenarios for New South Wales and Victoria would show more significant falls, whereas scenarios in Western Australia shows a smaller fall at the moment, although this may change ahead. For the more detailed discussion of our scenarios, check out our earlier post. But given the recent guidance from the Treasurer to ASIC and APRA to support growth, the question now becomes, will APRA loosen its lending buffers, allowing the banks to be more generous in their loans, which of course the banks would celebrate, or will the credit drought continue and so drive home prices lower still? Well, time will tell, and that data from the ABS next month will be significant, as will the RBA decision coming shortly after. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.